May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Light. Today we hear Jesus tell his disciples, "You are the light of the world." In our modern world, especially here in Glastonbury, perhaps we take light for granted. We can have light with the flip of a switch. We use candles not for their essential light, but to create or enhance a mood. Some of you may not even have noticed that one of the altar candles is not lit. But Jesus uses the metaphor of light, an incredibly powerful symbol. In Genesis, the first words of creation are, "God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light was good." In the prologue of the Gospel according to John, we hear, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him." Jesus, who John identifies as the light, is telling his listeners at the Sermon on the Mount, is telling us that we are the light of the world. Light, the primal element of creation, judged by God to be good. We are the light of the world. And then instructing us, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." When I hear, "Let your light shine among others," I am made uneasy by the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. The Pharisee certainly wanted to make a spectacle of himself, that everyone was aware how brightly his light was shining. I'm afraid we have enough modern-day Pharisees loudly praising God, reveling in their own righteousness, even boasting of the riches that God has righteously showered on them. I doubt that this is how God wants our light to shine. How does our light function? Some lights serve as beacons to mark the way, to signal. They may be signal fires, lighthouses, even a light in the window to welcome travelers home. Such a light is meant to be looked toward, to be seen, to be followed. Christ is that light. This past week was Candlemas, the Feast of the Presentation in the temple, during which we hear the words from the Song of Simeon, "For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations." Other lights are meant not to be gazed upon, but rather to be looked away from. They illuminate that which is around them. Jesus uses the image of the light on the lampstand. When a lamp is put on the stand, everyone doesn't just sit around and look at the lamp. We aren't sitting here looking up at the lights in the church. At least we weren't until I mentioned them. We are looking at what they are illuminating. As Franciscan priest and writer Richard Rohr says, "Light is less something you see directly and more something by which you see all other things." Consider our first reading today. Isaiah rebukes the Israelites for fasting for themselves rather than a fast that focuses on love for the less fortunate. They are concentrating their light on themselves. perhaps this is something we can consider as we reapproach the season of Lent. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like dawn. And in case we didn't quite get it the first time, Isaiah repeats it himself in simpler terms. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness. In our modern world, we are very good at manipulating light. We turn it on and off at whim. We can adjust the color of light. We can also focus and aim it to shine on what we want to see. With a dial here in the pulpit, I can dim or brighten some of the lights focused on the pulpit. Unlike our modern spotlights, the light on the lampstand gives light to the whole room. It does not just shine on what we might think is important or what we might want to see. Likewise, we must take care that our light shines for all and shows God's love for all, shows God's love in all, and shows God's love to all. When I hear or read, "Let your light so shine before others," I start to sing in the back of my mind the old gospel hymn, "This Little Light of Mine." Perhaps some of you did also. For millennia, there were no electric lamps. Lamps had to be filled and tended so that the precious flame would continue to burn. We are reminded today that a single lamp, no matter how small, placed on a lampstand, will shed its light on the entire room. Today we are told to let your light shine, not to make it shine. Our light doesn't have to be extremely brilliant, and we are not told to make our light burn brighter, simply let it shine. St. Paul, in today's epistle, states, "I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom." And yet, the weakness of his light was enough to illuminate the darkness, to show God's love. The song says, "This little light of mine." No matter how little, our light, if placed on a lampstand and let to shine, will be enough. Please join me in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, who by your word and sacraments kindle in us your light, give us the confidence to let that light shine forth, no matter how weak we may think it is, and increase in us true humility, that those good works which we may do shine glory not on us, but on you, showing your love in the world. We ask this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.